There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let us talk artificial intelligence now, because within the past couple of weeks, India and the United Arab Emirates have joined forces to announce a collaboration on artificial intelligence that they say could lead to $20 billion, with a B, dollars worth of benefits over the next decade or so. Now, we reached out to some of the people involved in this. On the one hand, the UAE's artificial intelligence minister, who we've spoken to many times before, but also the guys on the Indian side of this. And what they said to us was this: the guy you need to speak to is a guy called Avirukh Chakraborty. He's the founder of a company called Archeron. He's an experienced entrepreneur and academic in this field. He's your man. Well, your man is with us in the Dubai Eye studio. We say a very good morning and welcome to Avirukh Chakraborty. Morning, Avirukh.
Thank you for having me.
You're based in India, but at the moment you're kind of spending 1 week in India, 1 week in Dubai, 1 week in California, doing the circuit of artificial intelligence. Yeah. Let's take a step back. This deal done last month between the UAE and India, what exactly have they agreed to do in simple terms that my grandmother would understand?
What do you need for two nations to evolve in the field of artificial intelligence? It's a new field. The rules haven't been written yet. So what's next? You have to start writing frameworks in which both the countries can grow. Put simply, what's next? How does artificial intelligence improve the lives of Indian, common Indians in healthcare, in space, in farming? These are the broader things. How does it touch your lives? How does it touch every average Indian lives and a life in Dubai?
Well, let's start from that point. I'm not sure how it's going to affect average Indians in space. I'm looking forward to that answer. But let's start with down to earth, with farming and healthcare, because they are two very, very important issues. And you spent a lot of your career in India, your native country. In simple terms, give us some examples of how artificial either is or can help farmers and people in healthcare.
I'm going to take a liberty and talk to you something which is the next step after the deal has been signed. The next step, what I'm going to talk about, is the next step India and UAE is going to embark on. Two of them are farming and healthcare. Let's take an example. Today, artificial intelligence can predict diseases with 90 to 95% accuracy, including our own algorithms. So the question is, how does it help solve the lives here? For example, diabetic retinopathy, which is a huge problem. We can solve it using AI with 95% efficiency, better than an ophthalmologist. Point number one.
So this is diagnosing diabetes by looking at the eye, because there's a lot of evidence in there.
Yeah.
But the computers are better at spotting it than
the
ophthalmologist, you say. Yes.
So we have already beaten the ophthalmologist range. For example, US FDA, which is typically the most stringent organization on the planet.
That's the Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah. So which approves each and every healthcare initiative on the planet. It has given a green light to diabetic retinopathy using artificial intelligence when it crosses a threshold of 87%. It's public knowledge now. They have declared it. And algorithms today are beating 90 to 95% accuracy numbers. So it's a green light. So it's not just about research anymore, but it's going to get integrated into your apps. You can use it for billing your insurance player. It's actually applicable today. So this is no longer science fiction. It's there in our lives today. So that's point number one. Second, space. That's a lot of time I spend with NASA in California. How does space help? Space-based agriculture is the next thing. So we are looking at the Earth today for the first time every day. Earlier, we used to look at once Earth, once every 8 days. Today, we are looking at Earth daily. On top of that, we put artificial intelligence. And with that, we are able to decipher how to do farming better.
So we're not farming. This is not growing maize on the moon. This is using satellite imagery from space to help us make better decisions about farming. Yeah. In simple terms, what are those decisions or actions we can do differently using this space-based artificial intelligence?
When to ripe, when to harvest, which part of large tracts of farmland are going bad. For example, real-time monitoring of large farms is really difficult. But from space, you can even spot even a 5 square meter spot, which is going bad. So looking at real-time analytics of which part of the field is going good, which part of the field is going bad, when to harvest, how to grow, when to water, when not to water, when to harvest. The entire framework of decisions is today numbers-based rather than heuristic thumb rule-based, which is how humanity survived for the last 10,000 years. But it's time to take the next step.
Let's look at this agreement, though, between India and the UAE. What role do you see each country playing in that? I mean, it feels a bit simplistic to say, well, UAE could supply some of the money. India, home to millions of brilliant engineers, can supply the tech. But do you see less traditional roles in that?
Okay, let's cut the whole AI diagnosis. AI is about data. Understand this. If you want to solve cancer using artificial intelligence, you need 100 million sample sets. India is host to 1 billion people. Looking at 1 billion-plus economy is the largest data set. India and China is the largest data set on the planet. We are half of the world's humanity. So anybody who has to grow in the field of artificial intelligence in real time has to utilize the data sets generated inside India and inside China. It's a no-brainer. Look at it. Every large corporation on the planet, from Facebook to Google, it's all about data. And where is the largest source of data on the planet? Real-time guinea pigs. And that's the wrong word to say. But yeah, we are the largest source of data.
So what does the UAE then bring to the table?
UAE has an advantage, which other larger democracies don't, is a faster decision-making system. And let's be honest about it. I'm an advisor to a lot of Indian governments. And I help out on this side of the coast too, but it's much faster here. So one of the parts over here is talking about creation of an AI working committee and creation of a group which studies regulations, because technology is running fast and regulations have to catch up to them. And creating this environment is much easier in UAE. Once it gets sandbox tested in UAE, it's easier to replicate them in India.
I'm glad you mentioned regulations, because that is a big question mark. With AI, whether or not we would see regulations being put in place government by government, country by country, and in places like the US, state by state, or whether we need some kind of, as we have with aviation, for example, international regulations, because we're going to kind of be doing away with the borders on this.
Okay, so this is the next step. Everybody is talking about setting up a global AI collaboration. I know 5 governments, for example, who have approached me to talk about, can we have a round table? That's the next step. 2019 is going to be about a multilateral, multinational collaboration in the field of artificial intelligence. It's more like a G8 or G20 of AI nations. So yes, everybody's going to look at it. But then looking at how the world economy has been moving in the last 10 years, people are going to start developing pockets of their own AI regulations, which I think would be counterproductive, but I can't comment on each and every country's own regulations.
In India, you have a rich academic history of computer science-related courses, and you're part of that academia. Here in the UAE, we're playing catch-up a little bit with that. We do have computer science-related courses, and we have had for some time, but no one with the best will of the world is pretending that the UAE is up there with Stanford or MIT yet. What does the UAE have to do to rapidly play catch up when it comes to building these academic institutions? Some things you can build very quickly. You build a hotel in 2 years, but building an academic institute with all of the knowledge is much more difficult. How, if at all, can the UAE shortcut that process?
Okay, shortcutting the process, that's typically the right answer. I'm going to take half a minute of your time to go off the thing. Africa, no landlines, directly cell phones. The same thing is, I would rather, if I were to preach, the best part about UAE is it can act as a magnet for talented people to actually come over here, deploy their technologies. That technology, not just pure academia, but academia and industry interactions, is going to be the house centers of excellences for artificial intelligence is going to get created. Because AI cannot live only in an academic world. It has to interact with your industry.
We're going to have to leave it there. It's been absolutely fascinating talking to you. We will have more conversations, I'm sure, about this over the coming months and years. You're back in Dubai every 3 weeks, aren't you, on your tour of California, India and the UAE. But for now, Avirak Chakraborty, the founder of Archeron and one of the key architects of the UAE and India's $20 billion collaboration on artificial intelligence. Appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.